This is High Tech New Mexico, the show that educates you on New Mexico's high tech industry. Now here's your host, Mike Langner, on News Radio 770 KKOB.
Good morning, I am Mike Langner. We are High Tech New Mexico, and today we're going to talk about mirrors that wiggle and move, and a whole bunch of other things that make it easier to see clearly, with a couple of folks from Agile Optics. Adaptive optics are called generically in the marketplace. President Dennis Mansell is with us. Don Dyson is production manager of Agile Optics. We'll introduce them to you in just a minute. We, High Tech New Mexico, proud to say we are made possible by sponsorship support from Albuquerque Economic Development and Oso Technologies. Albuquerque Economic Development is a private nonprofit membership organization that recruits new business and assists expanding industries in our metro area. You can learn more about them on the internet at www.abq.org or call them at 246-6200. And we're made possible by Oso Technologies, providing internet connectivity and application solutions to increase your business's productivity. Oso Technologies is your fastest connection to the future. Give them a call at 343-7639, or again on the internet, go to osotech.com. Dennis Mansell, you're the president of Agile Optics. We begin with you. Who in the world would want a funhouse mirror that bends and distorts images in strange ways? Sounds like an odd thing that you'd ever want to hook up to a telescope.
Well, you know, Mike, people for years and years and years now have been essentially limited to optics that are hard and rigid. And there are situations in which a person might want to make adjustments in between that eyeglass lens that you have. I know some people watch their vision change from morning to night, and if you could adjust your optical gadget, whatever it is, whether it's a binocular or camera, to accommodate the changes in normal lifestyle, then that would make your life clearer.
Now, we're not really talking about the thing in binoculars that holds the image steady. That's related, but a sort of sideways science.
Well, that's true. We're talking about things that are more clear. I mean, normal aberrations that people take out with conventional optics are things like focus. And now we can go past focus and take out things like astigmatism and coma and other things that the normal person can't take out.
Don Dyson, you're the production manager at Agile Optics. We look up at the heavens at night and we see the stars twinkle. You and the stuff that you guys make, you're trying to take the twinkle out of the stars.
Well, maybe not necessarily the twinkle, but to make the twinkle more clear, or to make anything related to that twinkle clear in the sense of whatever it is we're trying to look at, whether it be a satellite system or whether it be a star itself.
Is this related, Dennis Mansell, to the famous fix the mirror in the Hubble telescope?
Well, you know, that's an interesting point. I think that if, in fact, NASA had some adaptive optics, they possibly could have taken out the errors in the Hubble telescope and not have to have that huge and expensive remake that they did.
We talk about flexible mirrors. Don Dyson, you got little green men behind a sort of a silvery, rubbery membrane or something, pooching up and down on it. I mean, this sounds to me like what you got is sort of a trampoline with parts of it that move, and one part of it is shiny, and it's a mirror. We close?
Right. Well, you're pretty close. I don't have little green men, but I do have a great clean room team, a young lady and some gentlemen that help us make these deformable mirrors. We actually use the same types of processes that, for instance, someone like Intel would use to make integrated circuits. Very similar processes. We have a very simple film that we lay down on silicon. And then our processing goes through several steps and several quality control measures. And then in the end, we have a very effective, simple mirror that we coat with different types of reflective coatings to give us the deformation that we need.
So explain this to me, Dennis Mansell. We're tracking something up in the sky. We're looking at a high-flying plane or a low-flying satellite or something, and we want to know exactly where it is. Because of the way the air wiggles around between us and it, we can see where it might be, but we can't really see where it is, and it comes out to be a little blurry on top of that. Kind of like looking at a mountaintop on a day when the temperature's rising and heat's coming off the desert floor. The light gets wavy. You can help fix that.
That's correct. The big challenge here is to do it fast enough, to sense what's wrong and fix it fast enough so you can stabilize the image, because the atmosphere moves at a fairly rapid rate, I mean, a few hundred times a second. And so your corrections have to be that fast or faster.
So how does this thing actually work, Dawn Dyson? You got this little silvered membrane that you're talking about. You pick it up and it looks like a mirror, but parts of it wiggle. How do you wiggle it? I figured that's where the little green men came in. you've quashed my whole theory.
Well, we do have assembly technicians that actually take the what I call the raw membrane, and we coat the mirror to make it reflective. He actually mounts that in an electrical system. We use a pad array that's patterned also in the clean room at this point. We assemble that together. We apply voltages so that it makes the membrane move in exactly the ways that we want it to move.
Which sounds like a great idea, but Dennis Mansell, doesn't it always mean at every moment you're adjusting the mirror for something that just got blurry? You're not adjusting it before it gets blurry because you can't know ahead of time how the blur is going to happen.
Well, that's true. You have to sense it, and then you have to fix it before it changes again. And that's the real challenge. Now, there are some applications in which you know what's happening. You can predict what's going to happen, and you can pre-correct it. That's called feed forward.
How about a system where you have two systems side by side? One of them looks at the twinkling star or the whatever you're looking at, the wiggling satellite or what have you. The other one also looks at it. And the one on the right-hand side controls the mirror, but the mirror gets light that you've actually delayed, so the corrections get there when the delayed light gets to it. Wouldn't that be a good idea?
Well, the problem is that light travels very fast, 186,000 miles per second. And, you know, there is no time. You can't delay it.
So you would have to have a delay line reaching, oh, maybe a third of the way around the Earth? That would be hard to put in your trailer?
Something like that, yes, if I follow what you're saying.
So, Dawn Dyson, if you're making one of these things on your production line, since you're the production manager of Agile Optics, when we say make one of these, are we talking about an inch square, a foot square, a yard square? What's the size of these gadgets?
Well, typically right now we like to use common start materials. They're easier to get, and of course we want to keep it simple and effective. So we used 2, 3, 4, 6, and 8-inch wafers, silicon wafers, and some glass sometimes for the pad arrays. And we just proceed from there, and we can make upwards of, right now, 75-millimeter aperture areas, which is the mirror surface.
So there could be a telescope with a great big meter like the top of Mount Palomar or something, but when they reflect that down into a small or some small mirrors on the way to the eyepiece or the camera detects it part, since it goes through a fairly small mirror, that's where you stick yours.
Correct, yes, and we can do 10 millimeters around, up to 75 right now, and even probably larger than that.
So who's your customer, Dennis Mansell? Who goes around saying, I just got to buy one of these things?
Well, I have to say that the military is very interested in these, especially our technology, because it represents a sort of a breakthrough in cost reduction. These are very much less expensive, factors of 10 to 100 times less expensive than what we call Brand X, our competition. The other people who need these are the people who use optics on a daily basis. People who, ophthalmologists, for instance, would be very interested, and we're trying to break into that community. People who want to look through your eye, it turns out everybody's lens in cornea is a little different. And if you want to diagnose what's going on the retina, for instance, you need to be able to tune your optical system to that person's retina. And that's what's critical.
You're talking about, though, so far anyway, making mirrors that are adjustable. Now, I wear glasses. You wear glasses. Dawn wears glasses. We don't wear mirrors. If you're making mirrors, how will I, as somebody who wears glasses, eventually benefit? Or will I?
Well, I don't think you will. I don't think you'll ever see these in a normal sense on your forehead. But the things you look at through your glasses, things like telescopes, microscopes, camera lenses, will be able to have a mirror in them.
If you have a deformable mirror, does that also mean you don't have to buy such expensive precision optics? Because you can have some optics with some aberration or flaws in them, stick in one of your mirrors, clear it up, and hey, you cut the cost of the other parts down too.
Well, that's true. That's absolutely true. You know, you could go from glass lenses to plastic lenses, for instance, ones that don't have to be as high tolerance, and then use the mirror itself to correct for the aberrations in that particular optical system.
Do you correct only for lines, visual lines, or can you correct for other stuff, chromatic aberration, all those other things they throw at lenses?
Let me think about that one. Chromatic aberration. Well, the nice part about a mirror is that there is no chromatic aberration in a normal mirror. A mirror reflects all wavelengths pretty much the same. Lenses don't do that. So it might be that you could use the mirror to do finer focus in the red than you would get in the blue. Yes, it's possible.
So the answer is stop at the stoplight anyway, whether it's red or blue. Well, that would be green. We're going to be back in a minute with more from Dennis Mansell, president of Agile Optics. Dawn Dyson is with us. She is the production manager at Agile Optics. And we're going to talk about where the money come from, how the company gets started. And they've got a product going where a couple of other businesses kind of cozy up and move in with them and grab a few federal dollars along the way and make more inventions to make technology grow in New Mexico. More from Agile Optics when we come back. Right after these few messages, I'm Mike Langner. Stay with us on High Tech New Mexico, here on News Radio 770, KK.
It's Pat Frisch and the Morning Team, tomorrow morning at 5 on 770 KKOB.
Deformable optics. This hour on High Tech New Mexico, no one doesn't mean a poke in the eye. That'll deform your optics, all right. What it does mean is a mirror that you can control exactly how it reflects from where. So if you're getting a bad image, if you're getting a little movement of what you're looking at through this mirror, you can compensate a lot for that with the mirror. Trick stuff. We'll be right back with more from Dennis Mansell and Dawn Dyson, president of Agile Optics. Quick detour to the Wheels Museum because their annual fundraiser gala is coming up on Saturday, November 18th. This is the Technology of Motion. And at the Wheels Museum Gala, which I invite you to buy a ticket and come join us, I will be your MC and host. Vern Rayburn, CEO and president of Eclipse Aviation, will be the featured speaker, and Albuquerque Mayor Martin Chavez, the honoree. Hope you'll come. Hope you'll join us and salute the Technology of Motion. Call the Wheels Museum. Look them up in the phone book. Or ring him on the phone at 243-6269. Back to Dennis Mansell and Dawn Dyson as we continue with High Tech New Mexico. Agile Optics. Dawn Dyson, are these things easy to make, hard to make? What does it take? Well, you start with a lump of something and a mirror comes out the other end. Walk us through the production of a deformable mirror.
Okay. Well, I wouldn't say that it's easy, and I wouldn't say it's difficult. We are fortunate enough to have lab space that we utilize through the University of New Mexico, and we greatly appreciate all the great machinery and technology that they offer us there in that workspace, as well as their Center for High Technology Materials. And so we take our blob, as you call it, our silicon wafer, and we literally deposit certain materials on it, nitride, for example, that helps us form the membrane later on. We actually then pattern the wafer in such a way to put the actual image of the mirror on there, or what we want the image to look like when it comes out. Then we use a wet etching process, literally, to etch away the silicon that we don't want, leaving that nitride film in its place.
Kind of like making a printed circuit for somebody's Walkman, or, oh wait, we don't Walkman anymore, iPod, sorry.
Yes, it's a very similar technology. As I say, as simple as effective, simple and effective as possible in order to get what we need from that silicon wafer. And when we're done, then we put whatever reflective coating the customer desires on there, as we do a lot of custom work. Some of it we do in-house and some of it we send out. But again, it's a wonderful facility over at University of New Mexico that we utilize on a daily basis to make these.
Agile Optics has an interesting arrangement. Dennis Mansell, perhaps you'll explain it to us, because you've sort of brought a couple of other companies to work in a workspace that's yours. You have some federal money, you have some funding from the Technology Research Collaborative. We got to learn who they are. And part of the money came through a CRADA. Oh, and we got to find out what's a CRADA. I got a CRADA apples at home, and I don't think that counts. Okay, you're on.
Well, Mike, let me digress for a minute and say, yes, we are trying to get an incubator facility established to take the technology of adaptive optics, which has been centered in this state for a lot of years, and commercialize it. And we have an initiative we call CIAO, C-I-A-O, a commercialization and industrialization of adaptive optics. And we have received some money from the TRC, the Technology Research Collaborative, to try to do a pilot project on this to show the federal government that, yea, verily, this concept will work. And what we're asking is, we at Agile Optics get almost daily requests for free help. How do I put your adaptive optics into our widget, whatever that is? And what we want to do is be able to have these companies who have a project to come into the facility, the Chow facility, and in fact try out adaptive optics on their widget and show that it works. So the TRC has given us essentially $200,000 of state money, which we're matching with some federally sponsored money. And we are bringing in two companies, and we've just selected them in the last month. And these two companies each have an application that needs adaptive optics. Now, the hope here is that if we find enough of these applications, that in fact we can build adaptive optics build a corridor here in New Mexico to pull the adaptive optics technology that resides here already and put it into the commercial world.
We've been talking so far about telescopes and similar applications for adaptive objects, but Don Dyson, let's enter the world of lasers. A lot of folks who make lasers for various purposes want to very finely focus them or create a pattern or change the laser wave in some way. Looks like you got a pretty good handle on how to do that. You selling into the laser market?
Well, absolutely, yes. In fact, our commercial customers so far are typically laser utilizing customers, and so that's what we do. We customize the system for them. We have our own software, or they can write their own software to go into the system, and we can feed in the laser. We can have the computer tell it what to do and correct the aberrations that they have, so we correct their problems for them. And that typically, in a sense of what I was talking about, commercial orders, that's what we're doing there.
When you're deforming these mirrors and changing how things focus, well, last time I deformed a mirror, I ended up picking up a lot of piece of glass off the floor. How much can you move these things? And if I stood there and said, okay, put on the show, could I see it?
Absolutely, you could see it. It depends on how much voltage we apply to the mirror and what we're trying to do with it. But yes, you can see it. It's very, very interesting to watch.
So you have another side technology that you have a controllable, movable membrane that could do anything that needs to be moved over a surface area, so there's places to go beyond light.
Oh, absolutely.
You ever deal with microwaves, or are they too big and klutzy for these kind of surfaces?
No, we have not. We have not been asked to. It's conceivable, but in the scale of what we do, we might move a typical mirror between 10 and 30 microns, which is probably a very small fraction of a microwave wavelength.
Yeah, the microwave's not going to see that one. That is a for sure. We're chatting this morning with a couple of folks from Agile Optics. We're going to come back after the news, and we're going to learn some more about their company. We're going to learn some more about Chow, commercialization and industrialization of adaptive optics. I promise I will not sing Chow Chow Bambino, although it's tempting. There is a microphone here, of course, and it's kind of like karaoke. Dennis Mansell is with us, president of Agile Optics. With him, Don Dyson, production manager. And we are High Tech New Mexico, made possible by sponsorship support from Albuquerque Economic Development and Oso Technologies. Hope you'll check both of our good sponsors out on the internet at abq.org or Oso Technologies at osotech.com. Back in a couple of minutes, right after the news. Quick update from the newsroom. Dennis Mansell, Don Dyson, and I will return with more High Tech New Mexico. A great hour continues. Stay with us for High Tech New Mexico on News Radio 770 KKOB.
You're listening to High Tech New Mexico. More people. You're listening to High Tech New Mexico. More people listen to this station than any other in New Mexico. News Radio 770, KKOB.
Now, why in the world would you want to take a perfectly good mirror and bend it? You and I know it'll break. Well, the folks at Agile Optics have figured out how to make mirrors that don't break when you bend them, and they do bend them. And no, you probably wouldn't want one over your shaving sink or over your vanity, but if you're working with lasers, or you're trying to see things across a crowded sky with sort of wiggling of objects, kind of like mirages wiggle in the desert, you need products from Agile Optics. Its president, Dennis Mansell, is with me. Don Dyson is the production manager of Agile Optics. And Dennis Mansell, on a summer day when the ground is getting a lot of heat and I look up at Sandia Crest, I can see wiggling when I'm looking at trees and towers. Are we likely to have consumer items with these mirrors in them, binoculars, what have you?
Well, you know, Mike, we'd hope so. It's going to take some development. There's no question about it. But at least with the membrane deformable mirrors like we make, there is hope. They're expensive. They're very lightweight. They're very low power consuming. Some of the membrane, some of the larger deformable mirrors that have been made to date would only fit on the biggest telescopes.
One of the things that you might want to do if you had one of these, and if you were a world power, which our nation is, Don Dyson, you might want to have a big laser in an airplane, and you might want to shoot it like a ray gun. Well, you're shooting the laser through the same funny moving around air, which makes it a little indefinite where the laser's going to hit. So you might want to fire a laser beam, see how it comes back, quickly adjust your mirror, and then fire another laser beam, this time through the mirror. Can you do that, or do we melt the mirror?
Well, we're actually working on a couple of different applications in that very line of thinking right there. And we have a joint project with another university in the United States right now where we're looking at that and trying to do that very thing.
So New Mexico Tech, Dennis Mansell, what's your deal with New Mexico Tech? You guys are kind of partners.
Well, we have partnered with New Mexico Tech. We find that not only are they a great institution, in fact, we've had two of their students as summer employees, and one of them we've hired full-time, but we're also working with them. They're one of the 10 members of the Technology Research Collaborative that is established here in New Mexico, and in order to get state funding, we had to partner with one of the TRC members, and that's how we came to actually team up with New Mexico Tech.
When we're talking about Agile Optics, Dennis Mansell, are we talking about tens, hundreds, thousands of people? Give us a sense of the scope of your company.
Well, you know, we've been in business. We're in our fifth year. We've actually had a high of 18 people, and we've had, you know, we started out with like 3 people. Right now, we have about a dozen people.
It used to be in New Mexico, startup capital, seed money to create a company like Agile Optics was really hard to find. But good news. That's changed. Venture capital money's now available.
Well, you know, when we started, we picked a year which was the lowest yield of venture capital money in probably recent history. And so we did not take any VC money. We, in fact, used our own funds to get started and used the good graces of the Department of Defense to help us get some startup monies.
Don Dyson, when you're building these mirrors, you mentioned clean room. And then clean rooms in your language and clean rooms in, okay, I just cleaned up my room, they're really different. How really fussy about cleanliness do you have to be?
Well, I think anyone who wants to distribute a great product like Agile Optics does wants to utilize a facility that can provide a clean environment. And when we say clean room, you're right. We don't mean it's dusted and vacuum. We mean that according to certain classes in the United States or actually internationally, we can maintain cleanliness down to one part per million. So actually the UNM facility at the Technology Transfer Center is a class 1000 clean room. So for our intents and purposes, it works very, very well. There are class 1 clean rooms in town, out at the labs, for instance, and Intel also has a very clean room to work in. For our purposes, though, it works very well. We keep our product very clean there, and it's all maintained by national standards.
Don Dyson, we're coming off of the cusp of hay fever season. Lots of people have been running around with a Kleenex box under their arm. So I got to ask you the question. You have a clean room. You have allergies. When you walk in the clean room, do your allergies go away?
Actually, it's a wonderful environment to work in. I didn't want my boss to hear this, you know, out loud, but I love working in the clean room. Love to spend a lot of time there. It is a very filtered environment. It's not filtered from odors. We can tell what's going on outside. We can tell when it's raining and so forth, but it is an amazing technology that allows us to keep particulate out of the clean room, so it's a very great environment.
So you're not changing the gases in the air, but you're just keeping the junk out of the air, particles.
We keep the junk out of the air, and we keep the humidity controlled in some circumstances, which is also very important to our processing.
Dennis Mansell, are you at this point a production company, a prototyping company, a research company? Where are you on the curve?
Well, that's a fair question. I would like to think that we're a prototyping company on the way to becoming a production company.
So you're making models and showing other people how they can use your product so that they will become your customer.
That's exactly right.
Patents are an interesting thing in these United States. Patents give you the right to spend a whole lot of money to defend yourself. You have any fear that you're going to have a great idea, which you do, you're going to have a technology advance, which you do, and somebody's going to say, that's a great idea. Well, we'll make those two, at least until we get caught. Maybe we'll make them in another country somewhere where we can't get caught. How much of a problem is pirating?
Well, you know, we have not seen it as a problem. Our attitude is hit the ground running and keep running. Most of this technology was actually developed in the 70s, and it languished for a few years and then came back to life.
And the laser programs are really what brought it back.
I think that's correct. The Department of Defense and people who build industrial lasers are the ones who we most have to thank for this technology.
We talked about telescopes and laser rays. Let's go to the extreme other end of optics, Dawn Dyson. It's not easy to make hugely, highly resolving optical microscopes. We'll go down to the teeny tiny area for your production. Do you want that one, Dennis? You make mirrors for microscopes?
Well, we have talked to people about building super microscopes, and in fact, we have not started to do that. We have not tried to do that.
When we have the technology of microscopes, I know you're not a microscope guy, you may not know, but we look at stuff in regular microscopes, and it's great. We can see in color, and if we want to see teeny tiny stuff, we look in scanning electron microscopes. Great if you like black and white. Wouldn't it be good to be able to resolve smaller things in color, and that might be a place for your agile optics?
Well, certainly the mirrors themselves are achromatic. They don't care what the color is. They perform the same. I think the advantage that our mirrors would have in a microscope is watching things that are moving, especially things in which the depth of focus is changing. So if this little thing is swimming closer and further from the microscope focal plane, you can track it.
And you become sort of the automatic focus control for the machine.
That's correct.
Some of the cooperation and presumably money that you're getting comes from a CRADA. That's a Cooperative Research and Development Agreement. What are they? Who pays for them?
A CRADA is really just a handshake agreement between, in this case, a government agency like the Air Force and a university or a commercial venture like ours. And the CRADA can't be used really to transfer money. It's not a contract, really. It's there are ways that CRADAs can be used to allow one person to use the other person's equipment, but it's not a contract.
If you're building something, and if you're growing a company and doing it in part with OPM, that's other people's money, whether it be the government's, some private venture capital fund, whatever it is, often along with that money comes the, oh, and I want control too. Do you have any folks, Dawn Dyson, looking over your shoulder saying, don't do it the way you're doing it, do it our way?
No, I have to say, in the while that I've been there, one of the things I've noticed is that Mr. Mansell has done an excellent job in going out and beating the pavement and finding the funding for this company. And it's one of the beautiful things about this company. We don't answer to VC. We don't answer to an outside entity of any type. And he's actually been brilliantly minded and genius, in fact, in coming up with ideas for funding and knowing who to go to. And if that door shuts, he knows how to open other doors. And so that's one of the reasons I'm here. It's just a great place to be and not having the outside control that a lot of other companies face, companies I've worked for before.
Is that one of the unwritten laws and part of the job description of President Dennis Mansell to get the money in the door so people like Dawn and her folks can do the job and keep the outside influences away from your building?
Well, yes, Mike. Ideally, that is the job of the president, is you know, to find money to track down new ventures and to keep the people employed and keep them happy.
And someday, somebody's going to come to you and say, okay, it's time to kill all the engineers and put the product on the table. Have you been able to develop funding sources so you're not staring that day in the face?
Not yet.
Other companies you've seen, that's happened, and it often is not healthy.
That's correct. It can be the kiss of death.
So the question then becomes, Dawn Dyson, if you're working with, among others, feds, and you're working in some of the academic sector areas with New Mexico Tech, what kind of resources are you, with these research agreements, able to go out and get? If you come up with a sticky wicket in your production run, Are there places you can go at Tech or places you can go to say, yeah, we need a little more from academia over here, come poke your nose in this one?
I think that, you know, this effort, like any other that's successful, and this is being successful at this point, is just one of those things where it's a cooperative effort. So, yes, we have resources we can go to. We're careful about who we go to. We're careful about who we talk to. But we're also very aggressive in helping ourselves.
Are you a little fearful that if you talk a little too much to too many people, some of the things you may be on the verge of developing and patenting may get out? Is that a fear?
I think I have to agree with Dennis that we hit the ground running years ago. We are still running on a daily basis. And for someone else to do what we've done and catch up with us would be very difficult for them.
Dennis Mansell, the agreements that you have with government or publicly funded entries. When you start your career as a production company, beyond being a prototyping company, you'll make some money, will they?
Normally not. The government does not expect a payback for the contracts that you've, because you've done the work they've asked and delivered the products that they've paid for. There are no strings attached in a typical CRADA.
So this really is a push on production. The government is providing you money, but it's not just money for the learning process. They want a product back to them.
Well, that's correct. They want to have the technology pushed over the chasm and available to them in a product that they can buy and put into their whatever DOD initiative they have.
So would the Cliff's Notes statement be, hi, I'm the government and I want a left-handed widget like this. I don't see any out in the marketplace, so I'll pay you to develop one, and then when you get it developed, I'll buy them from you?
That's exactly right. That's what they want to do.
And this is a widespread practice in the industry.
That's correct.
Chatting this morning with the folks from Agile Optics, we're going to come back in a minute and let you know how you can continue this conversation. Where's the website? You can look at some pictures of people and pictures of stuff from Agile Optics. With us, Dennis Mansell. He is the president. His production manager is with him this morning. She is Dawn Dyson. We are High Tech New Mexico. Proud to say we're made possible by sponsorship support from Albuquerque Economic Development and OSO Technologies. And remember, the Wheels Museum, the Technology of Motion fundraiser gala, Saturday, November 18th. I'll be your MC. Hope you'll join us. Call for tickets. Look up Wheels Museum in the phone book or 243-6269. I'm Mike Langner. Back in a flash with more on High Tech New Mexico here on News Radio 770 KKOB.
Results. High Tech New Mexico.
Agile Optics on the radio this morning, seeing clearly when the image is a little blurry. Yeah, that's when you need a deformable mirror. Maybe it ought to be called a formable mirror. Deformable mirror sounds like it doesn't work. But what the mirror does, little parts of it move around and take a blurry image, straighten it out, and you get a clearer picture. And we're getting a clearer picture this hour from Agile Optics, from Dennis Mansell, its president, and Dawn Dyson, production manager of Agile Optics. Dennis Mansell, you're the president. If we want to learn more about you and your company, how do we do that? You do have a website.
Absolutely. Just www.agileoptics, that's agiloptics.com.
And what will we see when we go there?
Well, you'll get a picture of our products, our product line, some references to some application notes, and just a general interest about our company.
Dawn Dyson, you're the person who's required for the production output at Agile Optics. That's your responsibility. If you were to describe Agile Optics, the company, to us as a person, how would you do that? Who is Agile Optics? What's it like to work there?
Oh, it's a lot of fun to work there, actually. And Dennis is one of the main reasons. He's a great supervisor. He's someone we can count on and that we highly respect in this business. Because we do custom work, when I say it's fun, it's because we do get to do some research and development along with production. And because it's a small company, that means everybody has to pitch in. So if you're kind of person that likes to multitask and get to do a lot of things during the day, that's the place, the kind of place to be, and that's why I love it so much.
Can you say that every day when you get ready to go to work, it's sort of a, wow, wonder what we'll do today?
Absolutely. Again, that's one of the great reasons I love to work there. I've worked in research many years. This is actually my first production experience, per se. And so it's a wonderful balance of both there.
What are your plans for the future, Dennis Mansell? You're going to be a great production company in the sky. You look for some big guy to buy you out eventually. You're going to stay in New Mexico, going to move to Boston. What's up?
Well, I don't think we're going to move to Boston.
Thank God.
Yeah, it's a little snowy up there sometimes of the year.
You know, most of us are here in New Mexico because we like New Mexico, okay? And that's pretty obvious. And what we're trying to do is build a job here that meets our most ideal goals. The plans for the future are to find that killer application, that company who needs these deformable mirrors by the thousands every day. And that brings on a whole new set of problems, and that's how you make them cost effectively, deliver them on time with high reliability. And we're happy to try to take those things on.
If Dennis were to say to you, Don Dyson, yeah, you know, we make a handful a day now. We need to, in 6 months, be able to make 1,000 a day. Would that change the setup much? You just put in more of the same thing, or would you change the way you make these little guys?
Well, the philosophy of making them is always the same, and that's prepare for everything, prepare for anything. So right now, I believe in a plan A and a plan B. We've always got backup for what we're doing. We're always preparing to make more, and right now we're doing a very good job of that. Obviously, facilities-wise, we would have to look closely at what we're doing and see what else we could do to make that happen, but we're getting ready. We're absolutely getting ready because we know it's going to happen.
In the kind of business you guys are in, everything works fine until some guy has a little too much to drink and hits a power pole with a car and the lights go out. Real problem for your production line when the lights go out?
We don't have any real problems like that we can't adjust to or move to a second lab or, like I say, plan A and plan B. That's what we do.
Plan A and plan B. Plan A stands for Agile Optics. We've been spending the last hour with their president, Dennis Mansell, and the production manager, Don Dyson. Interesting company. Check them out on the internet at www.agileoptics.com. And take a look. Here's another New Mexico successful high-tech company that's going to be part of our economic future in this great state. Dennis Mansell and Don Dyson, thank you so very much. We, High Tech New Mexico, proud to say we're made possible by sponsorship support from Albuquerque Economic Development and Oso Technologies. Albuquerque Economic Development is a private nonprofit membership organization that recruits new business and assists expanding industries in our metro area. You can learn more about them at www.abq.org or call them at 246-6200. And we're made possible by Oso Technologies, providing internet connectivity and application solutions to increase your business's productivity. Check out your fastest connection to the future, Oso Technologies, at 343-7639, or again on the internet, www.osotech.com. Again, my thanks to Dennis Mansell, president of Agile Optics, with him Don Dyson, production manager. It has been a great hour. Take a look at them at www.agileoptics.com. A lot of www's in today's technology. Well, no W's in my name. I'm Mike Langner, and I'll see you in a week with more High Tech New Mexico here on News Radio 770 KKOB.
The Talk Monster, 770 KKOB.